excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Nevada edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from my family room to my living room or something like that. Maybe we need a new name for this podcast now that I'm not regularly going to all road games, but be that as it may, we'll do our podcast and break down our post-game thoughts with the benefit of a computer and statistics and that sort of thing that I truly don't have in the car. So, Bears lose this one 52-31 to a Nevada Wolfpack team that, well, really the Bear defense didn't have an answer for. But we'll get to that quick breakdown. Nevada started off strong, scored an early touchdown, and the Bears kind of kept in it with some big plays. Shane Vereen scored a touchdown to tie it at 7. And he scored another one to close it to 21-14 late in the second quarter. Halftime score was 24-14. And then the Bears come out in the second half and close it to the slimmest margin since early in the second quarter of 21-24 on another long run by Vereen. But at that point, the Wolfpack really got a couple of big plays. The first was to intercept Riley shortly after the touchdown to get their 10-point lead back, and then a fumble at the goal line went the way of Nevada, giving them a 2-touchdown lead. Finally, in the fourth quarter, Nevada broke out a big run to extend the lead to 3 touchdowns, and the Bears had 1 catch-up touchdown before Nevada did 1 put-away touchdown on the read option for a final score of 52-31. And I guess the read option is as good a place to start as any because the Bears didn't have an answer for it. Of everything else that happened on the field today, the one thing that they just didn't know how to play was the read option. And the thing is, I don't know what the game plan was, and I don't know how they coached him in practice. So I really don't know whether the blame lies actually with a couple players who really didn't play that play right, or whether it is with the coaching staff for not coaching well, whether it's with the coaching staff for having a bad game plan. But the way it played out on the field is the wrong way to play the read option. When you have a read option where the quarterback goes to the outside, the outside linebacker in your 3-4 needs to play the quarterback. And Browner in particular was either diving at the running back or stopping in his tracks. And he couldn't do either. He needs to go to the outside and seal off the quarterback option. Because the thing is, the running back who's going into the middle, there's a bunch of other players there who can make the play. But when the outside linebacker doesn't contain the quarterback, if the wide receivers do even a sub-mediocre job at blocking off the corners and the safety, the quarterback's going to run for 5 or 10. Or if they do a good job, he's going to run for 30. And that's what we saw all night. Starting in the second half, you start to see that change. They were moving to playing the quarterback more. And we did slow them down a little bit. The problem was that defense had gotten tired. They'd been on the field so much in the first half that the other things started breaking down. And they weren't corralling the run plays up the middle. Those were going for 3 to 5 yards. And then it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter at that point. Because once the inside run plays are going for 3 to 5 yards, you can just give it up. I mean, you can try to put some more pressure on the inside to stop it, but then, of course, you're leaving more openness on the outside. And that's what we saw later in the game was they were getting 3 to 5 yards, and we kept bringing more pressure on the inside, and then they'd break out another read option play. But that all was predicated on the defense being pretty tired at that point. If they had played the read option correctly in the first half, and again, I don't know whether this is Browner just not listening to his coaches and not doing a very good job of learning the schemes, or whether it was what he was told to do, or whether they just didn't do a good job of explaining it, or putting him in game time situations during practice. I don't know that. I'm not trying to blame anyone in particular, even though what you might have read on the live blog had me ripping Browner to shreds. But the reality is we don't know. And it's just the end result was Browner was out of place over and over and over in the first half. And he just got abused when he was free. He was free to make the right reads and do the right things, and he didn't do it. So I think the whole game really, at the simplest level, broke down right there. Because the Bears put up some points. 31 is not horrible. I mean, really, it would have been like 34 if they'd kicked the field goal when they were down by 2 touchdowns. And even if they had a little bit more possession time, they might have even put up a few more points. So, and going back to the exhaustion factor, I really think that high altitude hurt them much more than I feel comfortable with. Now, I don't know if that's conditioning or what, but you saw both sides of the ball, them really sucking for air a lot. You saw Vereen coming off getting oxygen. You saw lots of hands on hips. You saw everything that's the indication that they were not as well conditioned as Nevada for those conditions. And I really think a lot of that has to do with the altitude. So that really hurt. We had a team that, you know, wasn't prepared for their schemes and then had to spend a lot of time on the field, and the offense was in catch-up mode and a lot of really difficult things to do when you're heavily winded. So I think the altitude definitely hurt that way. But it also hurt in our offensive schemes, because Riley couldn't, I mean, he had some passing problems that weren't related to the altitude, don't get me wrong. I mean, when you airball a hard-thrown ball, that's not the altitude. But when you're trying to throw a rainbow or do something with some touch and it sails, that can be the altitude, because you're expecting a certain amount of a certain pattern that the air gives the ball. And there were a number of times the Bears tried to go deep and the passes weren't even close. And I think a lot of that had to do with the air, that it's very hard in one day to relearn how far a 40-yard ball will go when you throw it at 5,000 feet. And so I don't blame Riley for that at all, but it means the defense can play you a little bit differently. I mean, you look at those few times where Riley went deep, the guys were behind their coverage, but I think they did that on purpose, because they knew at that altitude it is very hard to make those adjustments. So that hurt our offensive schemes. It hurt Riley's ability to pass the ball well. I really think that will make a huge difference when we see Nevada. I forget whether we see them next year or whether we have a year off before they come to Berkeley. But then to make matters worse, Riley definitely had some accuracy problems again today, or consistency problems, or whatever you want to call it. The ball is supposed to be going somewhere, and it doesn't end up there some of the time. He had his first interception was a poorly thrown ball, although Allen should have done more to corral that than he did. And he had some other passes, and you could tell as the game wore on that he was very uncomfortable with his passing. And part of that was the altitude, but part of it was, I think, because he knew that he wasn't throwing well that day. And there were some balls that he could have zinged in there that he kind of put some touch on because he knew how open the guy was and he just wanted to get the ball there. And that's senior experience. That's knowing what your capabilities are and what you don't have and doing what you can to get the ball in there. So I think it really hurt, though. I think he really struggled with his passing game, and that didn't make the situation any easier. I mean, 31 points, that's not horrible. You really can't expect to win when the defense gives up 52. both because it's not normal for you to score 52. You can't be expecting that week in and week out. And also because when they're scoring 52, you're not getting the same number of opportunities you are when they're only scoring 24 or what have you. So, really, I think this game was won and lost with the Cal defense. The offense had some struggles. The interceptions definitely didn't help. But, you know, Nevada made some mistakes themselves. They had a turnover or two that hurt them. So, in that sense, I didn't feel like either team had a huge advantage in the mistake category. But just can't expect an offense to do that well every game. And putting up 31 points, you should never say offense did horrible. They didn't. But when the defense gives up 52, you have to look at that and say, that's not acceptable. That's why you lost the game. And it really all came down to the read option and just getting abused by that. I do have to give a lot of credit to Nevada. They executed their offense very well. Their quarterback had clearly come a long way from what we've heard from previous years in his ability to keep the defense honest in the passing game. He was making a lot of completions that you wouldn't expect him to make. So they really did a good job on offense. I'm going to give them a fair amount of credit then there. And also I think their defense did reasonably. They kept him in the game. They made things difficult for the Bears. And that's not something to be overlooked. That team did what it needed to do on both sides of the ball. And I was pretty impressed. I mean, they gave us a really good game. So good on them for playing really well. But I think the Bears could and should win that game if they come with the right defensive strategy. But in some ways, you know, the Bears played a pretty good game. I mean, they outgained Nevada yardage-wise. They had more plays. Their average yards per play were similar. The one area they had a significant deficit was in rushing, but we still had 226 yards rushing, nothing to be upset about. And we did it on a ton fewer plays. We did better in the passing game. Riley was in okay, 23 for 37. That's, you know, better than 50%, but not great. The pressure that the offensive line was letting through, definitely a little bit of a concern there, although they got better as the game wore on, but that's really frustrating when back-to-back you have sacks at a key point in the game. And I really hope they get better. We didn't see a lot of Matt Summers Gowans today, at least from my counting. There's definitely some issues there. And the interceptions, of course, were huge, the three interceptions. They definitely put us on our heels. The fact that they only lost one of the three balls they fumbled really hurt us. I mean, imagine if Cal recovers that fumble on the goal line that was counted as a touchdown. So, I mean, in some senses, the Bears played okay. You come out and you play this game again, even without a different strategy. There's at least some shot that the Bears, you know, if the ball bounces different way, that the Bears have a shot at this one. So it wasn't an unmitigated disaster. I know we as Bear fans tend to look at it that way, but it definitely wasn't. There were definitely issues. I talked before the game about Pendergast being a pro coach and maybe not being ready for coaching for a quirky college defense, and I think that might have been part of what happened, that he was expecting a level of performance out of his players that is really not fair to expect and wasn't willing to game plan more for this quirky offense. So I think a little bit of experience there might help him. We might see him play better in future games in a situation like this. So, you know, we're not going to see an offense like this again. The UCLA pistol is not at all as efficient as this. They don't have a quarterback who's nearly as troublesome as Nevada's. Really, if there's a team that this one really worries me for, is Oregon, because they do run the read option, and they run it very effectively. So the Bears need to figure that out between now and then if they have any hope of beating Oregon. I don't care where you play them. It can be in Berkeley or Eugene or San Antonio. If we can't figure out a better way to defend the read option, we're not going to beat them. Now, luckily, maybe this is exactly what Pendergast needed to know how to prepare for that play and be ready for that play with his personnel that he has. So maybe this, you know, was a good thing for conference play, because the one thing to remember is we're still undefeated in conference play. And as far as going to the Rose Bowl, there's nothing physically in our way. We may be concerned based on the performance of this team tonight about their ability to deliver on that opportunity, but the opportunity is there. And I am sure that's what Tedford is telling his players right now. But what was really nice to see was Vereen kind of busted it open. He's had a couple of mediocre games. Nice to see him start to get something moving and doing better there. It was nice to see some better run blocking by the offensive line. Although they were spotty, but Vereen really seemed to come to his own. I think he's getting back to full health. I continue to like the play calling on offense, very diverse, forcing the defense to play us upright and honestly. As I said, I think a lot of Riley's struggles were hurt by the altitude, which we won't see anymore. Although, actually, Arizona is at a higher altitude than most people think. Although, I mean, not that high. It's at 2,400 feet, which may make it one of the highest stadiums in the traditional conference. Of course, Colorado and Utah will significantly up that number. But, I mean, there's a little bit of altitude issues. I mean, it's just a real minor level, you know, not half of what we we saw today. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's one of those kind of quadratic or exponential type of things. So, you know, 5,000 feet plus is a ton different than half that height. That's not double. But, I mean, you know, you could probably say that there's just a tinge of that hurting the Bears in their trips down to Arizona Stadium in the past. And maybe it's a kind of a good thing that the Bears have played at that kind of an altitude the week before, going to one of, you know, the higher ones in the Pac-10. But in any case, you know, sure, it's on the road, it's against Arizona, and we'll see tomorrow how good they are against Iowa. But the Bears go in and win that one. They're in a great shape, and you know, we're not ranked anymore, so we're not doomed. So, you know, what are you going to say? I think this team, there's still a lot of hope. This was a really quirky offense. So far, it appears this defense is much better prepared for more traditional offenses. So, other than Oregon, the rest of the teams left on our schedule, you know, should be more conventional and more defense, more prepared to play them. And the offense had enough rhythm and enough going on that I don't think they're going to be impotent for the rest of the season. I think they, you know, they put up 31 points, and as I said, it was at a minimum 34, just, you know, based on the catch-up situation. It might have even been more if the game was closer to tied. So, I mean, we did an onside kick that didn't help us, you know, punt and recover the ball because we were desperate. So, I still feel like there's a lot of promise. I have always thought that this season the Rose Bowl was high aspirational. It wasn't out of reach, but it was not the likely scenario, not even a you know, realistic, hopeful scenario, but it was one that was in the possibility if all the pieces fell into place. And it feels like, you know, 3 out of every 4 pieces are kind of falling into place. And so there's still hope there. You know, maybe that fourth domino will fall, and maybe the Bears could do it. Maybe other teams will, you know, stumble and help make Cal's job easier. But clearly this game shows a little bit of, you know, the chink in Cal's armor, which I don't think any of us are truly surprised by, are we? But overall, I think what I'm most disappointed by is that the defense came with either such a bad game plan or so poorly prepared or whatever. I mean, Browner just got abused, and I really think the Bears, even with all the faults that we had, things that I poured over already, could have won that game if the defense was ready for the schemes that Nevada, we knew ahead of time they were going to throw at us. So that's probably what disappoints me the most. And, you know, oh well, that's life. We don't always get exactly what we were hoping for. But we will persevere. That's our... that's... You know, part and parcel of being a Bears fan is that winning is not easy and doesn't come all the time. So we will continue on. We'll hope that, you know, we have a brand new season in front of us, 2-1 in non-conference play is good enough that the team only has to go 4-5 in conference play to be bowl eligible, which is about all that the non-conference schedule really means, is how many games do you have to win in conference to be bowl eligible. Because we're not in this for the ranking. We're not in this to go to the national championship. We're in this to win the Pac-10. And so all of this is just a warm-up for what starts next weekend in Tucson. And I think the Bears still have a shot at a high-level bowl in the Pac-10. I think this game will be motivation for them, and they'll go to Arizona ready to play. It's going to be a really tough game. I'll be watching that Arizona-Iowa game to know just how tough it's going to be. But things never come easy in Tucson. But I think this Bears team has some hope at winning that game. So I'll wrap it up with that. Thank you very much for listening. I think Jason and I will have our midweek podcast as always. And go Bears. On the road again.